Do you need answers? Like how to accomplish this particular thing? Or what is the best way to get where you are going? Where are you going? Or which is best, X, Y, or Z? Or maybe you think, I want this, but I have no idea how to make that happen. Well, then you are in the right place. On today's Own Your Intuition show, we'll begin our series on getting answers. It's the topic and process I teach in my book, Getting Answers, Using Your Intuition to Discover Your Best Life. I believe it's an ancient process, one that seers have known for ages, one with an intrinsic secret in it, a secret hidden in plain sight. Join me for today's show.
I am but a part of this. All I am is all I give. Everything that comes to me comes as sure as I will breathe.
Do you crave clarity and insight? Do you sense that your intuition is trying to tell you important things, but you have a hard time trusting it? Do you want access to your own internal wisdom and to understand how it operates so that you can guide your life in ways that are meaningful and satisfying? Well then, welcome. I'm glad you are here. I'm your host, Aimé Cartier. I've been a professional psychic since around 2007. I'm the author of the book, Getting Answers, Using Your Intuition to Discover Your Best Life. I've been teaching others to understand and use their own intuitive and empathic abilities for more than a decade. Join me each week for true stories and tools that will inspire you to take seriously your own inner knowing, that internal sense that you have uniquely tailored to you and designed to not only set you on the roads that are best for you, but also help you avoid the ones that are treacherous. It's time for you to own your intuition. Hi, welcome. Today, we are going to start a series on my book, Getting Answers. It's the beginning of the year, and it's a natural place where people are wondering, what does the year ahead look like? A few episodes ago, we talked about practices for concluding a calendar year. Now let's talk about a few for creating a new one. This practice isn't only good for the beginning of a year. I use it any time I have an unanswerable question in my life, a situation in which I don't know how to solve, or I'm not sure of the best answer. In 2010, I published my book, Getting Answers. Oh my gosh, doesn't that just seem like such a long time ago? I didn't even have babies. I think my husband and I had just started dating. I started the manuscript before we were dating, but I know I finished it when we were because I thank him in the praise and thanks sections. He bought a few advanced copies. I wrote this book because I wanted others to know how easy it is to get answers. You absolutely do not have to be a professional psychic like I am. Anyone can do it. I didn't invent this process. I just wrote it down. I feel like it's something seers like myself have known for ages. It's not just for us. Others have known it too. The crux of it is this. When you ask questions, you get answers. And as I said in the intro, within this process is a hidden secret within plain sight. Let's start with that. The secret is that the universe, the divine, whatever you call it, is in dialogue with you all the time, whether you recognize it or not. in my book, Getting Answers, Using Your Intuition to Discover Your Best Life, I break it down into the four easy steps that are required to get the answers you crave. It's evergreen. I still use this practice whenever I have something not apparently solvable in my life. When I am stumped, or when I'm craving something, or I know that I'm moving toward something, but I'm not sure how to arrive or what path is best, I use this process. I use it because it works 100% of the time. And a little side note, you don't have to believe me in order for that to be true for you too. When you do these steps, your experience will show you. I've also been teaching the Getting Answers process in my own Your Intuition program, which is a 7-month program in which you learn all the tools that I use to keep my intuition sharp and to use it for what it is designed to do: give you the goods, show you the best way forward at the moment, and the next moment, and the one after that. In any case, I have been teaching this process since before the book was published, and I'll likely keep teaching it as long as I am teaching, because it works. And it is simple. As another side note, I want to tell you that most things related to your intuition and using it are simple. As humans, we have a tendency to overcomplicate things. We want to use our big brains, and sometimes we overuse them, if you know what I mean. If you've ever been stuck in a mental loop, you know what I mean. I would like to see a person who has never been stuck in a mental loop. I honestly don't believe they exist. A rare creature indeed. The upshot is, the simple process is also fun. Today's show begins a series that we will do delving into the simple and delightful process that will get you the answers to the questions of your life. You can get the guide to have on your bookshelf and reference it again and again and again by getting the book for yourself. I'll put a link to it in the show notes. Actually, I should tell you that over the years, I've had more than one person tell me that they carry my book around with them in their purse. It's smallish. It's not a saga. And simple, remember? Once I had a woman tell me, I carry it around with me in my purse. I am always getting it out and showing it to my girlfriends. We'll get it out in the park and talk about it or do the process. Another thing about the book is that when I wrote it, I also designed it for quick reference and or for people who don't ever finish a whole book. You know who you are. At the end of every chapter is a bulleted list of all the vital details. Chapter 10 is actually a checklist, the short course for when you get stuck. So let's dig in. The first step is align with the highest. This is your safety measure. You don't want any old answer to your question. I'm sure your neighbor or your mother or anyone you could ask could probably come up with a few viable solutions or suggestions for most of the questions that you pose. But you don't want just any answer. You want the one that best serves you and your highest good right now. That is why you take the time to do what I call align with the highest. You can do so in one of two ways. One, you either state an intention as your first step, something like, I only receive answers that are in my highest good to know. Or two, you make very clear just who you are asking your question to: your highest self, your benevolent ethereal guides, the universe, God, whatever language you use to identify the best and most benevolent source. I often use my highest self, divine benevolent source, or guides in the service of my highest good. This step is important. It's like a safety net. It gives you the understanding and confidence that you will only receive the answers that can truly serve you. Simple, right? That's it. That's the first step. Simple but vital. Done through a stated intention or an indication of who you are addressing, the highest and best, most benevolent source you know. Step two, ask the question. I wrote my book after I discovered that I always got a response to every question I ever asked, 100% of the time. Framing your issues or concerns into a question is essential. It's a beacon that lets the universe or your guides or divine benevolent source know that an answer is needed. You are no longer content to just sit around and complain about how something isn't going right, even to yourself. You are actually looking for a way to change it. Asking a question is a very different stance than chatting about what isn't working in your life. Once the universe knows that you want a change or results, your peeps, as I like to call your benevolent guides, the universe, benevolent source, your highest self, will do everything it can to help you get your answers. Because you get to choose. We all do. Some people choose to remain very unhappy in certain situations for a long time. That is your right. You may do that if you like. Or you may choose to ask very specific questions about what or how you would like things to change. It's much easier to find or recognize the answer when you know what you are looking for. For example, if you go shopping and you know you are looking for a dress for your sister's wedding, as was my need several years ago, it is much easier to actually find a dress for your sister's wedding than if you go shopping with a nebulous and undefined idea of what you need. You are unlikely to get exactly what you need in that case. Get it? Here's an example. Once, several years ago, I had this habit of going to the gym to work out. Then after every workout, on my way home, I would stop at our local bakery for a gluten-free scone. I didn't think the habit was helping me. So at some point, I wanted to curb it. The problem was, every time I got into my car after a workout, I would think of that tasty scone. I would want it. Even though I wanted to change the habit, I also wanted the scone. So in this case, I wasn't pondering what I should do or how I should change. I knew what I wanted to change. So the question wasn't, how should I shift my eating? I knew what I wanted to do, not eat a scone every day. And yet I found it super hard to do it. In the moment of actually putting the food in my mouth, I lacked the gumption to make it happen or not make it happen, as the case was. So I formed a question. I framed my question into something along the lines of, how can I gracefully change my eating habits so that they are more healthy? Not too long afterward, I noticed that what had felt dramatic before, like how am I not going to choose to go get a gluten-free scone every day at the bakery, it just dropped away. I found myself naturally reaching for vegetables as snacks during the day. Not necessarily because that's what I was craving, but I found it really easy to just make that decision to eat that instead. My question was framed in a way that gave me the experience I was looking for, ease in healthy eating. I remember teaching this once, and a woman in the audience had a similar experience. She knew what she needed to do to get her health in order. The trouble was, it was challenging for her to follow through with it. I suggested she frame her question around her motivation, since, again, in this case, it wasn't the what to do that was stumping her. It was the being inspired to do it. Her question became something like, what will motivate and inspire me to make the dietary changes I need to make? Obviously, this is a question that could be useful for so many things. Insert whatever you are needing to change in the dietary place. Especially if you are a person who makes New Year's resolutions. I am not, but I don't know. Is that a thing that people still do? My experience was always that the motivation to do them lasts about a hot second or maybe a hot week. And then I'm no longer flossing my teeth every day or what have you. I've noticed over the years that I've taught this that surprisingly, figuring out what your question is often a very difficult procedure for people. I've got a whole chapter on it in my book to help you out, and I'll give you some tips on it in a moment. But first, I want to harp on something, and that is the second step is ask the question. It is a step unto itself. The step is not ask question, get answer. So savor this step. The more you do this process, the more your experience shows you what I already mentioned. You will get the answers to any question you ask. Because of this, once you get in the flow of this process, the asking creates a soothing experience in the body. That is my experience. The step is ask the question. Once when my daughter was about 2, I had a babysitter that came to be with her a few times a week while my son was at preschool so that I could work. One winter, in the middle of the winter, and I say this with emphasis because it is a hard time to find good babysitters. There are no college kids home from school. Nanny schedules are already set. So once in the middle of the winter, our babysitter just disappeared. It seemed like that to us, at least. We did eventually find out that her grandmother had suddenly become gravely ill, and our babysitter left in a rush to go be with and help her grandmother. In any case, we were in a lurch. I had to reschedule a bunch of things because suddenly I didn't have a window of time to see clients. I cannot do readings with a toddler in tow. Let's be honest, you can't do much with a toddler in tow, aside from deliver snacks or pull up socks. I was just at my sister's house for a few days this fall. She has 2 children under 5. The reality of that show is that there is, and I do not exaggerate, hardly 30 seconds in between requests or needs or the helping of a small person. But truly, regardless of age, I can't do readings in my house with my kids around. I need to concentrate. People ask me very serious questions about the trajectory of their lives. If I was trying to do readings while in my house, I would inevitably hear the family through the door. One of them is trying to locate this. Your brain answers, it's in the laundry room, even if your mouth doesn't. So yes, I don't do readings with my family around. And when our babysitter disappeared, I had to reschedule a bunch of things. But I turned to my process. Who is the best babysitter for my daughter right now? I love giving this example because I didn't just ask the question and then sit in my living room. I did my due diligence. I inquired with all of my mother friends. I posted at appropriate places online. I asked everyone I knew. The magic of this practice is that I was actually sitting at my dining room table when the answer came to me. But I'm going to save the finish of that story for another episode. A little teaser, if you will. So I've been doing this process so long that once I identify the question, I immediately relax, simply because I know the answer is in the bag. I may not know it yet, but I will. I didn't know who the best person to watch my then 2-year-old daughter was, but I knew that the answer would be revealed. It was only a matter of time because I had already started asking the question. So this step, ask the question, becomes a relief in itself after you've done the process and seen for yourself, because you know asking is as good as answering. So let's talk about some ways to savor this step or be with this step. One, write your question down. I recommend keeping them in a journal with a time and date because I think it's fun to see the timeline of when answers appear. I think it's interesting to notice that on the 20th, I asked this question. On the 24th, I got the answer. And if you don't write them down, you might forget. It sounds like it would never happen, especially with your big questions, but trust me, it does. I think it happens partially to do with how the answers come. And I'm not going to get ahead of myself here, but you'll find out. Another way to savor the process, especially if the question is really bugging you, is to write the question on a post-it note or on a piece of paper and tape it up somewhere or several places that you'll see all the time. In your car, on the steering wheel, on the bathroom mirror. I've put them on the counter or even on the overhang over our stove. Somewhere that I would see it when I was in a place that I often am. You might also choose to doodle, draw, or visually depict your question with the question also written out. Over the years, I've gotten many photos from my students who did just that, made a visual reminder of it, or several, to place around their home and space. I encourage you to just really relax into this step because, as I keep saying, no matter the timing, it is the act of asking that makes the answers appear. So allow yourself to get into the asking. When or if you find your mind is fretting about your answer, just ask your question again, knowing that doing so is bringing you the answer. That's it. That's the second step. Ask the question. Over the years, I have been stunned by how hard this step was for people, time and time again. So in addition to the chapter devoted to getting to the heart of what you really want to know, I've also developed some guidelines as I've taught this through the years. So here's what I would say about formulating questions. There is no wrong question, but I do define a quote, real question. A real question is, in this case, the one that you either do not have the answer to or is indicative of an experience that you want to have. Some questions are more satisfying than others because they actually give you what you are wanting. Like the example I gave earlier, if I had asked, what should I do to change my eating habits, that answer would have been less satisfying to me, mostly because it wasn't my real question. I knew what to do. I was just having a hard time doing it. I wanted it to be easy. The way I phrased my question allowed my experience to align with that reality. It's magic, really. What else can I say? I can't totally define how it works. I only know that it does. Asking questions actually changes the shape of your life. Sometimes people ask questions also because they can only see one way of doing it. In my book, I give the example of a woman who once posed her question, "How can I get a university job so that I can keep my dance studio?" She had a dance studio that she rented and used. I think she even taught flamenco lessons out of it. But she was having a hard time affording the experience at the time. In the past, it was her university job that allowed her to easily rent the space. She locked on to that possibility because it was the only solution that her brain could see. It was the one that had worked in the past. She didn't really want a university job, though. She wanted to be able to easily afford the rent on her dance studio. So I helped her reframe the question into one around that. How could she easily keep her dance studio? The universe has infinite ways of providing solutions, not just the ones that you have been previously exposed to. If you are having trouble discovering your real question, I would start with, what do I really want? What are you stumped about? What experience do you wish you were having? When you've identified that, frame your question around that. In my book, I have a whole series of questions that you can ask yourself, self-inquiry, really, that helps you get to the bottom of what you really want to know. Another example. When my son was finishing preschool, I was really keen to know what school would be best for him next. I researched all the options. I found two options that I felt really good about. I felt fine about both of them. So it became apparent to me at some point in the process that since I felt fine with either one, I wanted this decision to be guided by him. I wanted him to be really clear about which environment he felt best at, where he felt called to, where he might thrive. So I framed a question around that. I asked Source, I asked the guides that serve my son's highest good, to make it really clear for him. My question was something like, can you please help my son guide the decision on which school is absolutely best for him? He went to both schools to do a trial day. When we got back from the second one, he got in the car and he literally said enthusiastically, the first thing out of his mouth, "Mom, that is my school." Decision made. As I said, there are no wrong questions. The universe will let you know if you are on the wrong course, and I'll talk about that in another episode of our series. You can ask as many questions as you like, and that's the gorgeousness of this process. Your questions change, your life evolves. First, you want to know the best publisher for your book. Later, you want to know where to send your kids to school, using examples from my own life. Your needs change. The process remains evergreen. I will say that when you're first starting out using this process, I do recommend starting with just a few questions. That way you can see how the process really works and know it works for you. You gain confidence in it and understand how accessible it is for you. A little time with self-inquiry and discovering your real question, and it's only a matter of time before the solution arises. So, a few tips as you start formulating your questions. Write them down, then look them over. Can you say it with a question mark? Sometimes, oftentimes actually, when I teach this, students will come back with their questions that sound like this. Help me to live in my healthy body. Or guide me to the best man for me and make it abundantly clear that he is the one. Those aren't actually questions. They are directives, pleas, or prayers. A question is something you don't know the answer to. A statement is a directive. The difference between this process and that type of prayer, a statement or directive, is that this is the process that I use when I want a very specific answer. I want to know who the best babysitter is for my child, or I want to know what school is perfect for my son, and I want him to know and feel it too. I'm not asking for butter to smooth the way or general aid to make something go better. I'm asking for something specific that I want to know the answer to. Your question helps the universe know that you are ready for the answer. It's like being up to bat versus being in the dugout. A few other things to keep in mind as you formulate your questions. Keep what you want to know in the first few words of your question. Then you can use all the flowery language you want. I find if I don't say that, my students come with these very long, flowery questions that are like two or three lines of description before they actually say what they want. I get it. I like to define things too. I'm not just looking for an answer. I'm looking for a solution that has these qualities. Fine to include the qualities, but first, name what it is you are looking for. I also avoid negative wording, words like not or don't. Find a way to state it positively. If you have a negative, like you're wondering whether it would be better if you didn't do something, you can often use the word skip. Skip doing this thing. It's the one that I use all the time. Do this or skip this. It helps me avoid the negative, which I think sometimes just gets confusing. Here are some examples of some good questions of my previous students. What career path will offer fulfillment and comfortable income? What must I cultivate to be prepared for and ready to receive love and partnership? In this example, my student knew she was in therapy working on her attachment issues, so she knew that in her process was really about cultivating something for herself. Is there anything else I need to do to be prepared for and ready to receive love and partnership? Can you give me a sign if this work is worth it and will bring me what I need? Technically, this is a yes or no question, but in this case, my student really wanted confirmation. She had an idea of where she was going, so she asked that confirmation be given if she was on the right course. Another question. What is the best way to sustainably eliminate my daily anxiety? How can I use my gifts and skills to create an abundant income with joy and flexibility? Also, just to note, a general question usually yields general responses, like, what is my life purpose? Then you understand that it is something to do with teaching, perhaps, but you're still sitting in your living room wondering how to get there. How to get from A to Z or B or X, whatever. So if you want to know that, start there. Like I said, no wrong questions. Then once you have your general response, you can start to whittle it down to the next pieces. Then you can ask really helpful questions that give you practical insight and actionable steps. Like, what is the next step to take to fulfill my life's purpose? Okay, you got it? For today, that's a wrap. Step one and step two. I'm going to give you a clue. You don't have to look for the answers. Once you do the asking, they will show up in your life, wherever you are in your life. You do not need to take a magnifying glass or be looking high and low or searching everywhere for them. Your answers will show up within your life. I'll give you lots of examples of that in the upcoming episodes. Right now, be with the questions. And if you can't wait, if you have to skip ahead, then you can use the link in the show notes to get my book. Maybe you'll even carry it around with you in your purse. Okay. Happy asking. This is Amy Cartier, and you have been listening to the Own Your Intuition show. Did you know that you can get the beginning of my book for free on my website? You can. Head over to amycartier.com and click on the books tab or follow the link in the show notes. I love hearing from you. So if you want to send me some pics of your question, I would love to see them. Feel free to post a pic on Instagram too and tag me in getting answers. You don't have to reveal your question to the world if you don't want to, but I'd love to see some images of you working on your questions. I've gotten all kinds in the past, things like hot creamy drink next to a notebook and the book getting answers. So if you're working it, if this is inspiring you, put it out there. Help other people understand too that they can also get answers to the questions of their lives. I promise you, it is easy. So ask your questions, because from questions come answers. See you soon.
I am but a part of this. All I am is all I give. Everything that comes to me comes as sure as I will breathe.